When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantastic story in baseball yesterday to see this happen. Fisher is the story right now on the Mets in baseball. And by the way, the Mets with a huge comeback win last night against the Philadelphia Phillies. And Wander Franco had a setback. He was removed from Sunday's AAA game. It has been nothing but setbacks over the last few weeks for Wander Franco, and they're just probably hoping they can get him back for the postseason at this point. But let's recap real quick what you saw from the NFL preseason, Davis, thus far. We basically are probably not going to see much now of anybody that's going to be a factor for the upcoming NFL season. I can tell you that from my perspective, I guess above all, Malik Willis sort of was the story for me. Not that he's going to factor in immediately, but just kind of like, wow, there's a real chance that this kid ends up being good. What is it that stuck out for you from the preseason thus far that you've seen?
A couple big storylines. I mean, for me personally, the biggest one was Albert Okwuegbunam still playing in the fourth quarter of the Broncos preseason game on Saturday. I think a lot of people, me included, assumed he was, you know, pretty locked and loaded to being the tight end one in Denver. Greg Dulcich was Nathaniel Hackett's pick, but he has been injured all preseason. He has not practiced with Russell Wilson since organized team activities all the way back in May. The other guys they have on the roster, Eric Sobert, Andrew Beck, Eric Tomlinson, you know, these are just career journeymen blocking tight ends, but not a positive sign there. Isaiah Pacheco played more snaps so far this preseason with Patrick Mahomes than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That is, I think, I mean, a pretty massive storyline at this point. You know, we want as many guys playing with Patrick Mahomes as possible. I also think Justin Watson playing on the outside over Sky Moore with Mahomes is a little bit interesting. And Isaiah Likely, 8 receptions, 100 yards, and a touchdown. The Ravens play more 2 tight end personnel than any team in the league. They play more 3 tight end personnel than any team in the league. They just traded away their former number one wide receiver, Marquise Brown. They signed DeMarcus Robinson, who got cut by the Las Vegas Raiders over the weekend. Clearly, they are looking for anything to bolster their passing game. And I do wonder if Isaiah Likely is actually going to be the rookie tight end who ends up mattering for fantasy this year.
It could be. He's looked great too. We also, Davis, had one trade today in the NFL. I see Nick Mullins, who I've always thought Nick Mullins could play a little bit in the NFL, but he got traded, I believe, from the Raiders to the Vikings. Is that correct?
Correct. From the Raiders to the Vikings for a conditional 7th-round pick. For that 7th-round pick to convey, Nick Mullins just has to be active for one game this season. And look, you know, we are what, about 21 days away, I think, from the start of the NFL season. And Jimmy Garoppolo has still not been traded. I'm kind of waiting for that shoe to fall. We really have not heard much of anything. You know, there's just kind of too much going on, a lot of attention on the Deshaun Watson news and all that. But I'm still kind of wondering what's going to happen to Jimmy G.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I think the 49ers are playing this perfectly. They don't have to trade the guy, and they're waiting for the very best offer, which, by the way, is not going to be much. But they're waiting for something to come in, and or by the way, they're waiting for someone to go down, which is really not great for them to want that. But naturally, that could be the case with them. All right, so coming up next, it is time for us to get into a team that I know that some of you may not be excited about. I understand that. But listen, when you're reviewing every team throughout the fantasy football season, there are going to be some teams that are better than others. But I guarantee you at the end of the season, just like last season, you will be playing fantasy football and considering picking up a player on the Houston Texans and playing him. I mean, it's going to happen.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Nature of fantasy, you can't rule out any team. And by the way, in the second half of last season, Houston actually had some pretty viable performers in fantasy. So Davis and I are going to break down his favorite team in the NFL and, of course, his favorite quarterback, because Davis's favorite quarterback has the same name as him, Davis Mills. We'll have that next for you right here on Fantasy Sports Today, our ADP preview of the NFFC's Houston Texans is up next right here on our Monday edition of the show. So stay on the grid as we'll be right back in just a couple of minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Our fantasy football team previews continue today with the Houston Texans. Davis Maddock, Craig Mish with you here on Fantasy Sports Today. We're doing one team a day all the way up until the start of the NFL season. We still have a long way to go. I don't even think we're halfway there. So look, it's fantasy football, Davis. Naturally, you know what happens. There's going to be a team or two every year that are going to have very few startable fantasy assets. It's just the nature of the game. There's a lot of teams. There are some teams that aren't going to have great offenses. The Bears come to mind as one. We're struggling to figure out, you know, would you even be playing anyone outside of their running back during the season? And I think we went into last year feeling that way a little bit about Houston, and that did really play itself out, I think, over the course of the season. But as the year went on, they sort of caught fire a little bit on offense. Davis Mills started playing a little bit better. And definitely in bye week situations, there were a handful of players that saw themselves playing on your fantasy football team this year. And I think this year may be similar to that.
Yeah, I mean, last year it did end up just kind of being a mess. They just had a bunch of different players rotating in and out. They had only one running back with more than 100 carries. It was Rex Burkhead. They had only one wide receiver with more than 100 targets. That was Brandon Cooks, who did have a great season, 90 receptions, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. Danny Amendola was playing in there, scored 3 touchdowns in 8 games. Brevin Jordan and Farrell Cooper and Anthony Auclair were all rotating at tight end. David Johnson was in there at running back. Philip Lindsay was in there at running back. I mean, it really was a mess. And I think that was kind of dictated by their offseason strategy. We talked about this a lot in our preview shows last year, but I just have never really seen a team give out a bunch of $4 million contracts to career special teamer guys the way that the Texans did. I would say their depth chart does look a little bit more focused this season. You know, if mm-hmm. nothing else, you know, it does seem as if they are concentrating maybe their skill position players a little bit more. I think at the end of the day, the problem is just going to be the offensive line is not very good. I think you could very realistically argue that Davis Mills overperformed last season, and that mm-hmm. overperformance was a 6.8 YPA. So if you're saying that at 6.8 YPA, he maybe did a little bit better than you would expect, that does not leave a lot of ceiling for the team to score a lot of points.
No, it does not. And I think it'll be a challenge for Houston again. It certainly feels like this is year two of a rebuild of them, which, I mean, people call it tanking. But look, Houston is not going to win 10 games. We know that. It's going to be a tough year for them as well. But let's take a look at the ADP for the players on Houston. And maybe when you're drafting this weekend, this can help you as far as where they're being selected. Davis Mills essentially is not being taken in 12-team leagues in fantasy football. His ADP is outside the top 200. Damian Pierce, who we're going to talk about a lot here coming up, his ADP is 139. Marlon Mack, the well-traveled former pretty star running back with the Indianapolis Colts, his ADP just inside the top 200 at 187. Brandon Cooks is a rock-solid fourth-round pick, wide receiver two for most people. And then you have Nico Collins, again, an undrafted player. Same with Brevin Jordan at tight end. All right, so let's start with Davis Mills, who was not the starter at the beginning of last year, Davis. And we really had low expectations for Davis Mills. And when he came in, those expectations changed because he looked really well. There were some blips, sort of along the course of the season. But extrapolating his numbers in a full season, if that was the case, then Davis Mills is probably better than 10 other quarterbacks right now in the NFL. But the ADP sort of tells you, as you said, that there could be some regression and not a lot of belief that we can extrapolate that.
Yeah, and I mean, the sort of problem is Davis Mills is just like a genre of quarterback that's just really not that appealing anymore in the NFL. So first off, he played in that super traditional system at Stanford, right? And was not a particularly good college quarterback. Played three seasons, 18 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, did not run at all, 86 rushing yards his entire time. And Houston, and I think we actually saw this with the draft this year. What was interesting about Kenny Pickett? Well, he can move a little bit. What's interesting about Desmond Ridder? What's interesting about Matt Corral? What's interesting about Malik Willis? Well, they can all kind of break the pocket and create on their own. And that's just not really what Davis Mills is going to do. And, Craig, I think we were all kind of impressed with Davis Mills, not just like folding last season, but I also think we maybe remember him playing a little bit better than he did, because he was 2-9 in his 11 games. Tyrod Taylor in his 6 games also won 2 games and was slightly better in terms of completion percentage, slightly better in terms of YPA. He did turn the ball over more than Davis Mills did. I think really all we are asking Davis Mills to do, I think you're definitely not using him at all in any non-super flex format or anything like that. Though I don't think he's horrible in a super flex format, because I don't really see another quarterback who's like needing to get game time here for the Houston Texans. Jeff Driscoll is in there, a bunch of guys, like they don't have any other projects to work on. So as long as he's healthy, he should probably start all year. But really what we're asking him to do is to get the ball to Brandon Cooks enough to let him be a wide receiver two in fantasy football, and maybe generate enough targets for one of these other guys, right? Nico Collins, just whoever, right? Give someone else 85 targets, enough for them to be usable.
Yeah, and most prognostications, as we'll talk about with Cooks, have him traded in October. Almost every single one of them says that this is just a matter of time before Houston moves on. Okay, so let's go now over to the running back position for Houston. The running back in fantasy football is critical to figure out who's going to get the carries, who's going to be at the goal line. And so Houston is no different than anyone else. The running back that appears to make the biggest jump maybe in the last 2 months, maybe in all of fantasy, honestly, Davis, is Damian Pierce, who played for the University of Florida. And I have a lot of familiarity, obviously, with watching him there. And the beef that went on at Florida, Davis, is that people wanted to see him get the ball more. He really was never a primary running back at Florida. And on top of it, like he's sort of a throwback guy in the sense that you give him the ball and he's never going to lose yards. He's always going to get one, or he's going to get three, and he probably will be their goal line guy too. But I mean, catching passes I don't think is something that he's going to do in Houston. And they really don't have anyone in particular to do that. So, there's a lot of comparisons that I could give you to running backs in the past, but very few enter where I just kind of view him as a guy where they get, they throw a ball in the back of the end zone, there's a pass interference, and this dude's going to score, he's going to score from the 1 yard out. But beyond that, I don't know. I feel like he's jumped a lot in fantasy, and I don't think people have watched him play at Florida.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably been, over the last 3 weeks of the season, kind of since preseason started, he and Isaiah Pacheco have probably been the two biggest risers. You know, Damian Pierce was being drafted like running back 45, running back 46. I saw him go in an underdog draft this morning at running back 30. I saw him go in the sixth round of an FFPC main event draft last night. Now, those drafts are pretty crazy. There are lots of, you know, just rich businessmen type of guys who get in there and just, you know, sort of take their guys. But I mean, you look at the depth chart and it's not particularly inspiring, right? Marlon Mack, Achilles injury, washed out in Indianapolis. Rex Burkhead led the team in carries last year. He's maybe more the third down back type, but like not a guy you need to give the ball to 20 times a game. Dare Ogunbowale, third down back style. Royce Freeman, third back down style. And the coaching staff has been super complimentary of him. He's been getting all the starting snaps in preseason. He might even be a value right now, you know, if he gets to 190 carries this season for the Texans.
Yeah, I don't know. I loved him at Florida. And what we used to hear was that just Dan Mullen, he was constantly, I don't know if the doghouse is the right word, but they just refused to give him 20 carries in a game. They would just give everybody else carries. And so we'll see if that translates to the NFL. But Pierce is going to have some competition, regardless of if you like the names or not. There are other running backs that are going to be drafted inside the top 200. So we'll dive into that. And then wide receivers and tight ends coming up next on the Houston Texans as our team previews continue right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Our previews continuing today with the Houston Texans from a fantasy football perspective. Let's take a look at the average draft position as we just reviewed and go through it once again here in terms of where they're being taken in the NFFC, the National Fantasy Football Championships. Brandon Cooks is the top player being selected on Houston in the fourth round. His ADP is 54.2. Damian Pierce, their rookie running back, who we just discussed at 139. Marlon Mack, who we'll get into here at 187. And then Nico Collins and Davis Mills are both outside the 200. So, Davis, over to Marlon Mack. I'll tell you, Marlon Mack, I thought, was really underappreciated in Indianapolis. Injuries sort of derailed him, but once upon a time, and I guess that's the best way to put it, what, 3 years ago, he was a pretty dynamic running back. And then naturally, when you get a player like Jonathan Taylor, you just have no interest in using a guy like Mack. And I kind of feel like he's now on this Carlos Hyde trajectory where he's going to bounce around the league quite a bit. But I got to tell you, last round, no issue for me taking Marlon Mack and stashing him and just hoping maybe he gets 20 touches in a game. Because if he's healthy, and I know it's a big if, but if he is healthy, he was serviceable in the past.
Yeah, I mean, he had a 1,000-yard season in 2019, 261 touches, 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns. Weirdly enough, he did actually get 33 targets as a rookie in Indianapolis, so I don't even remember what that 2017 Indianapolis team was. My guess would be that was when they were sort of adrift after the Andrew Luck bomb went off, and they just didn't really know what to do with themselves. And he was also, you know, this is a long time ago now, but he was like a great player in college. I mean, he at Southern Florida, like he was unbelievable, came out at 20 years old, had a 1,000-yard season with 9 touchdowns as an 18-year-old, you know, caught at least 20 passes every year that he was in college. But I think we saw this with, you know, multiple running backs, right? You tear your Achilles, you're just a different guy. Donta Foreman was a guy we all liked. He's kind of bounced around. You know, he resurged a little bit with the Titans last year and is now a member of the Panthers. Cam Akers, you know, we don't know what Cam Akers is going to be. He came back from that Achilles injury. And honestly, he looked terrible, right? When the Rams were making that playoff run, we were all just begging anyone put Sony Michel out there, put Daryl Anderson out there. He looks terrible. I actually think probably Rex Burkhead is the more interesting guy for a last round selection, because as we were just talking about, Damian Pierce was not a big pass catcher at Florida. We're not expecting him to be a really good pass blocker. And that is what Burkhead does, right? Burkhead is a good pass blocker. He is a good pass catcher. He's a great third down back. And I mean, if it doesn't work out with Dameon Pierce, I would anticipate the Texans, you know, kind of being down in a lot of games. You know, I'm not anticipating a lot of 21 carry games where they're running backs or they're running downhill with a 10-point lead. So Burkhead is probably slightly more interesting to me. Both are fine though for like 18th round selections, because as we saw last year, the Texans don't care, right? No one's getting in there with pedigree, right? David Johnson was just flat benched, right? And I think they were paying David Johnson like $9 million last year, and they were like, you know what, you stink. We're playing Royce Freeman. We don't care. So whoever is playing well, I think, is going to get the ball.
Is David Johnson out of the NFL? Is he on a team?
So David Johnson did visit the New Orleans Saints, but I think that he was they were thinking about signing him when it looked like Alvin Kamara was going to be suspended. But now that it looks like Alvin Kamara is not suspended, they decided not to sign him. So he's a free agent. He will probably be one of the you remember how Le'Veon Bell just showed up with the Ravens right in week six last year? It's going to be him. You know, some team's going to have two running back injuries and David Johnson's going to show up and play for 3 weeks.
It's amazing. Todd Gurley, David Johnson, back-to-back number one picks, both out of the league. Wow. I mean, running backs in the NFL, it's impossible. All right. Brandon Cooks is the most talented player on Houston. And from a fantasy perspective, he had over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns, very highly targeted. Like, it is lockdown target on Cooks. I guess the only question, Davis, is he's got to avoid concussions. That's what's kind of derailed him a little bit in the past. And again, when you read about like players who could potentially get traded, Cooks is like number one on every single list, because you just know at some point Houston's going to be 1-5 or 2-6, and they're going to be looking to cash in on some other team's issue, whether it's somebody, you know, being hurt or just not playing effectively. So I expect him to be on another team in November. But he should be really valuable over the course of the season. As you know, you draft him as a wide receiver too. You're going to get your 5 catches, 60 yards, and occasionally a touchdown.
Yeah, the Brandon Cooks thing is interesting, because he could have been moved this offseason pretty cheaply. And instead of trading him, he signed a 2-year contract extension with the Houston Texans that, were he to be traded, would cost the team that acquired him $43 million in dead cap. And this is a really lucrative deal for Brandon Cooks. I mean, he is making $18.5 million this year, $18.5 million next year. And if the Texans decide to keep him around for another year, $16.5 million. So I think Brandon Cooks did, honestly, this is the decision I would make if I was Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks has played for a lot of really good teams. I actually don't know. Has Brandon Cooks won a Super Bowl? I don't think so, but he's played with Drew Brees. He's played with Tom Brady. Yeah. Yeah. And he played with, I guess it was Jared Goff in LA, but yeah, but I mean, he's been traded for a first round pick 3 different times, which gotta be a record. Right. But I think he is comfortable just getting his bag, getting 1,000 yards, 6, 7, 8 touchdowns, kind of depending on what happens. Cause he's not going to, it would be very surprising to see him get moved this year. Now, he could get moved in the offseason with a restructure on his deal. And now I don't love Brandon Cooks in fantasy because, yeah, he's going to be pretty sturdy. He's going to be pretty steady. But there is no chance that he turns in a league-winning season, right? The Texans just are not going to be good enough, right? So for a guy to have 1,400 yards and 11 touchdowns, like, you got to be on a good team. I mean, look at all the guys. Look at the wide receivers who go in the first round. They're all good teams. You know, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, all those guys. But he could be a good wide receiver too. The big issue I have with taking him in general is in most drafts, he goes right ahead of Chris Godwin. And if things break right, Chris Godwin can be the number one wide receiver in fantasy football, right? He could get 180 targets. He could score 14 times. And I just don't think those things are in the range of outcomes for Cooks, but he's totally fine. I have no issue with taking him where he goes.
All right. So let's move on to the other options for Davis Mills at the start of the season. One of them is Nico Collins, who got some nice playing time toward the end of the year, but really not a lot of interest in the NFFC. His ADP is 217. He had 446 receiving yards. He won't be a starter or even a flex option entering the season. Davis, is there a chance he's playable at any point?
You know, I mean, I think Nico Collins is sort of interesting in the same way that like Devin Funchess was interesting, right? Because he's this super athletic guy. He's huge, 6'4", 215. I mean, he got on the field as a rookie. Not that many guys who were drafted where Nico Collins was drafted. You know, he's about the 90th overall pick, even end up making an impact. And he went to Michigan, and Michigan just has this long track record of getting these guys who are uber athletic, five-star recruits, and then doing absolutely nothing with them and just running the ball and completely ignoring them. But Nico is at least interesting as an athlete. I mean, he did score 13 touchdowns on 78 receptions in college, so I think that kind of shows you what his skill set is. And perhaps more importantly than anything, there is no one else on this roster who is a good wide receiver. Chris Moore, useless. Chris Conley, great guy. If you follow Chris Conley on Twitter or anything, he's like really funny and charming and has like a very good, he was in Kansas City for a while and has just a good perspective on life, but is not a very good NFL wide receiver. And then literally guys you have never heard of or forgot were still playing. Connor Weddington, Philip Dorsett, Jalen Camp. I mean, just like the total nobodies. So I don't see any way Nico Collins is not playing like 75% of the snaps for Houston. And if I'm wrong about Davis Mills and he is a little bit better than I think, I mean, Nico could be kind of interesting or useful.
All right. And let's close it out with their tight end. And Houston has really struggled, Davis, in this category for years. Brevin Jordan last year had 178 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns. And without looking at it, I think a lot of this came in one game, if I'm not mistaken. I think he had like, I could be wrong on that, but I feel like this guy had one big game. He's not a tight end one, not a tight end two. He's going to be on the waiver wire to start the season. Is there any chance Houston's tight ends are viable at all?
I mean, the issue is going to be the same issue that it was last year, which they just because the bar for being a viable tight end is so low, like, 4 receptions for 37 yards is like kind of a usable stat line at tight end some weeks, right? The issue is they have all these guys. So Farrell Brown is going to play. Anthony Auclair, who's like an H-back type guy, tight end fullback, is going to play. Mason Schreck, who came over from the Bengals, he's going to play a little bit because this was the problem with the Texans last year was they had like 9 guys who were rotating at these skill position spots. I don't think it's going to be as bad at wide receiver and running back, but I think it's going to stick at tight end this year.
All right, let's close it out. Is there anyone in a best ball that you took in the last 3 months that may be viable that we haven't discussed? Anyone?
No, I mean, Mechie would have been the guy, right? But he's not going to play at all this year because he is battling a cancer diagnosis. Which stinks.
Yeah, I have him in my Dynasty League, too. I'm hoping for good things for him in the future. All right. Well, not the strongest of outcomes maybe for the Houston Texans, but we review one team every day here on the show. We will continue that tomorrow, and we archive all of our videos over on Sports Grid. So check them out if you want to get a preview of the season. And coming up next, it's time for some fantasy or reality. We'll discuss the latest happening with Tom Brady and everything else in the fantasy football landscape. This is Fantasy Sports Today right here on Sports Grid, and we will... Fantasy Reality next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. For those of you who are on social media, you want to be following us there over at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest notes, news, information, and even announcements as we've expanded our partnership with BetMGM. You can find that over at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV, a brand new partnership expansion with a great company. So congratulations to everyone involved here at SportsGrid and also at BetMGM. Davis, before we get to fantasy reality, again, congratulations. How does it feel to be married? Does it feel any different to not be married? Were you one of these people like 20 years ago that said, I'm never getting married? You just got to be honest with me.
No, never. No, I always knew I wanted to get married. My one observation, though, is that like you don't realize how amazing of a day your wedding is going to be until you do it, right? Like you go to weddings, you're like, oh, you know, it's fun, it's great, it's whatever. But you don't really realize like how cool of an experience it is until you actually go through it. Cause like planning it and everything is so stressful and you're just like, ah, you know, these people have COVID, they're not coming, like yada, yada, this has to go right, that has to go right. You know, but it was unreal. And, my first time doing the all inclusive resort thing for the honeymoon. I mean, my brain is not working, right? I'm back here. I'm at my desk. I'm trying to live my life. And, it's so bizarre to try and get back to the real world.
It is a lot of fun, but great to have you back and ready for fantasy football for sure. All right. Now it's time for a little fantasy or reality. We will start off with a little NBA here on the show. An announcement was made yesterday by Miami Heat forward Udonis Haslem at his kids camp, which he does every year. And for the last few years, he does his announcement as to whether or not he has decided to come back for another season. And Davis, Udonis made the announcement yesterday that indeed he is going to come back and play another year. I think this is 22 or 23. I can't even keep up at this point. But Haslem is chasing the most seasons played ever in NBA history. I think he's almost there. Maybe Dirk is number one. I'm not sure. He's very, very close. I think he has to play one more on top of this. But everyone knows that UD is sort of like an assistant coach. There really has never been, honestly, Davis, in the history of sports, anyone like Udonis Haslem, who essentially for the past 5 years, 7 years, just doesn't play and just, you know, plays a handful of minutes. And last year was no different. He did get in some minutes at the end of the season, and he always plays like in the last game of the regular season, but not more than that. Fantasy reality, Davis, UD, Udonis Haslem, Heat lifer. He'll have his number retired by the Heat whenever it's all said and done. Will play more than 10 minutes, just 10 minutes for a full season on the Heat this year.
Yeah, I'm gonna say reality, mostly because if this really is his last season ever, they will have him start that final game of the regular season, and we'll just let him play as much as he wants, right? So if he's out there, he's having a good time, you know, getting rebounds, yelling at people, they're not gonna pull him out. Like game 82, what does it matter? He's gonna get more than 10 minutes. He did actually play 83 minutes last season, which was the most minutes that he had played in a season since 2016, 2017. He played 130 minutes in that season. The last season that he played over 1,000 minutes was in 2012. I mean, that's 10 years ago. That's how long Udonis Haslem has just sort of been a mascot. And you know what? People do actually forget this, but he was like a pretty critical member of that 2011-2012 season for the Miami Heat. You know, he was actually involved in that team, and I believe that was the year that that they did finally win. I think he maybe even was starting in the NBA Finals, or at least I know for a fact he was playing in that NBA Finals, and the Heat could get away with him being out there because Donkey Scott Brooks was starting Kendrick Perkins in the finals when they made it. I'll never forgive him for that. But I love UD. I love the idea. Like, you know, these ceremonial things in sports like annoy me most of the time. But like Udonis Haslem being in a jersey and trainers on the sideline is like always funny to me.
Yeah, he is easily. I mean, if he's not the most like athlete Davis in the history of South Florida, he's number two. Like he is right up there. When they won their first championship, by the way, with Shaquille O'Neal and Dwayne Wade, he was a major part of that team in particular. The first season of the Big Three, he was an impact player, and then he just became, you know, he slowed down. The other thing that's fascinating about this, Davis, is that he could retire and immediately be an assistant coach immediately, but he likes getting in the uniform and he likes going to practice.
I literally think it's just that he likes wearing the uniform instead of the coaching stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's an assistant coach. That's what he is essentially at this point. And this is an easy reality. He's definitely going to play more than 10 minutes this season. It may not be until the last game of the year, but he's going to play 20 minutes this year. And the Heat does a pretty good job with him about halfway through the season, Davis, putting him in. Like it's about, like, they're up by 40 or down by 40, and they're like, all right, it's time. And then everyone goes crazy. They only play him at home. And everyone goes nuts, and he takes a couple threes, and he gets a couple rebounds, and he, you know, gets in the face of Jimmy Butler, and owns a bunch of Subways here. Like, he's one of a kind, really. Goes to all the Marlins games. You gotta ask him, like, goes to every Marlins game. Just a iconic guy here in South Florida. Not a Hall of Famer, but Hall of Fame South Florida athlete for sure. All right, let's move on to our second fantasy reality. Now, naturally, there's been a lot happening with Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And there's some Reddit group that was involved, I guess, last weekend that was saying that Tom Brady, the reason why he's been away from the team so long is because he is participating in The Masked Singer. Now, I want to be perfectly clear with an update before we do fantasy reality here that Pro Football Network has done their own investigating, Davis, and apparently has found that maybe that could have been the case, but maybe more likely was the fact that he was at some all-inclusive with his wife, Giselle, over the last week or two. And there seems to be a trend that they have found something to back that up. But I will ask you, fantasy reality, Davis, Tom Brady, the reason why he was gone is because he was participating in The Masked Singer, like this Reddit group was saying.
I mean, it would be way better if the answer was reality. I mean, this would be one of the funniest stories of all time. If you know, because the theory, for anyone who's not heard it, basically follows as the dates line up. Remember, Tom Brady was retired. He would have signed a contract to appear in this before he came back from retirement. And his condition of unretiring with the Buccaneers would be, hey, I signed this contract. You got to let me go do it. And remember, Brady definitely is going to want to do TV. So he would want to ingratiate himself with Fox, which is the television station that broadcasts The Masked Singer. I think it's probably a fantasy. I think it's probably just that he wanted to go hang out on the beach in me and Brady on the beach, same time, you know, just ordering room service, hanging out. I think it's probably a fantasy, but I would love for this to be real. This would be hilarious to me if Brady was there doing The Masked Singer.
Yeah, it tells you how popular Tom Brady is that his stories of this Masked Singer and then Dana White's story on the UFC, I don't know if you caught that too, Davis, about how he almost signed with the Raiders, that stole more headlines than anything that happened in the preseason this weekend. Sports is about the stories, not on the field anymore or on the court. It's just fascinating. Yeah, this is fantasy. There's no way. Yeah, there's no way. So Brady is, I don't know him at all, but he is sort of Mr. Accountability when it comes to these things. I cannot see this. I cannot see this being real, that he would bail for that, especially during the NFL preseason. Now, if you asked me if this was Aaron Rodgers, and the same scenario played out, I may say reality here, because this is who he is. Aaron Rodgers likes to be the guy that stirs it up. He likes to be the contrarian. So that does make some sense. But Brady, I don't see him in his final epilogue of his career going back and saying, you know what, folks, the reason why I didn't play in the last was because I was on The Masked Singer. Like the story, like you, not going to happen. I would say fantasy. All right. So last Monday, Davis, we had the finale of the Breaking Bad universe series. Now, naturally, Breaking Bad was one of the most popular television shows of all time. And then Better Call Saul came around for a prequel and lasted 5 seasons over the course of many years because they had to shut down with COVID and then their lead actor, Bob Odenkirk, had a heart attack. So it took a while for this to be over. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Netflix even had a Breaking Bad post El Camino, which would star Aaron Paul as well. So it was over Monday. I certainly saw all of it. I have my opinion. I don't know if you had a chance to see all of it too, but I'll ask you, fantasy reality, Better Call Saul, better than Breaking Bad at the end?
So I have not seen all of Better Call Saul. This was one of the ones that I was watching with, I guess, my wife now. And she just kind of got bored of it. You know, the first 2 seasons of Better Call Saul are good to me. I enjoyed them, but it's like a slower show. It's very different. It's very differently paced than Breaking Bad. And, you know, there are also like a lot of little things going on in the background that tie together. You kind of have to pay attention pretty close. And it just did not land for her. People say, right, the critical response is that Better Call Saul is better. I don't really know how you beat the penultimate episode of Better Call Saul. Not the finale, but the second to last episode, Ozymandias, that episode of Breaking Bad. I don't know if I have ever seen a better episode of television, but people say it's better. I'm not going to give a strong opinion either way. I love all of Vince Gilligan's work. And those guys, they were heavily involved with X-Files, which is one of my favorite shows of all time. So I just love everything these guys do. But I'm not going to give an answer or an opinion one way. It's an incomplete grade here.
Understood. Yeah, so I saw both, and I did not watch Breaking Bad when it was first out. I had to, you know, binge it all to watch it before Better Call Saul came on because I wanted to watch Better Call Saul. So that's what I did. So I have a lot of familiarity with this. I think this is an easy answer. It is about taste. It is about what you like. It's not about being better. That's not what this is about. If you like drama, if you like dialogue, Better Call Saul was by far the better show. If you like action, if you like, you know, a little bit of insanity and craziness, then Breaking Bad was by far your show too. It is a taste show, and that's really what it was. For me, in the end, I thought Better Call Saul was better. I did think that show was better because I love the way that the story was painted. But that being said, Breaking Bad had better episodes than Better Call Saul ever had. That's absolutely true. So I think a combination of me for both, but it's about taste for people. And that's why it's hard to say whether one thing is better than the other. But I think a fair answer from you, and that's my answer on it as well. All right, coming up next is time for the Sports Grid 60, and then Kevin and Donnie will take over the top of the hour. I'll be right back here at 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Newswire as we get you ready for the sports betting universe that is college football. First college football week of the season is this week. We're here. We made it. Saturday, there are eight or 10 games going on this Saturday, including a game in Ireland, if I'm not mistaken, too. So we'll start talking about that. We'll go heavy on college football this week. That'll be at 2 o'clock Eastern. And then also don't forget that our team-by-team previews continue right here on our show tomorrow morning. So 11 o'clock Eastern, Davis is back. I'll be back here, and we'll go over, I think, the Indianapolis Colts, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's our next team. We'll be right back here on FST to wrap it up. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Before we leave you today, we always have a final thought on the show. And today we start with Davis Maddock. He's back from his honeymoon and his wedding. So we got what we got here. Let's see. Sports Grid 60.
You know, this really is pretty much my favorite time of the year. FFPC main event fast drafts have started. My home league with my buddies is next weekend. I'm getting lots of dynasty fantasy football trade offers as, you know, people are kind of shaking the sleep from their eyes and taking a look at their rosters and trying to figure out what they're doing. And, you know, when the season starts and all these things that we think were going to happen immediately go wrong and the rookie running back you like doesn't get on the field and George Pickens, who is the star of Steelers training camp, is playing behind, you know, Chase Claypool and only gets two targets and we go on. Like, this just really, I always try and take a moment to breathe kind of that last week of August and just take it all in because obviously in, you know, starting September 8th, a lot of the things we think are going to prove to, you know, obviously be wrong. So enjoy it, everybody.
Yeah, that's for sure. I've got a draft coming up in about 9 days, 10 days from now. I had a chance to see the Dodgers a lot this season. I went to Los Angeles, of course, for the All-Star game. I saw the Dodgers play the Marlins over the weekend. How good are the Dodgers? Yeah, I understand they spend the most money. That's definitely a huge factor in why they're so good and going to win 110 games. But, like, Cody Bellinger's not having a great year. Max Muncy's not having a great year. Justin Turner's not really having a great year. Kershaw's been hurt. Walker Buehler's been hurt. And these guys just don't lose games. It is incredible. Now, what will happen in the postseason, I really have no idea. The Mets are good. So are the Braves. So are the Houston Astros. But credit to the Dodgers. It just simply does not matter who is on that field for them. They just just mash teams left and right. Really impressive to see this season. And honestly, they don't even get enough credit. That'll do it for the show today. Thanks, of course, to LTN and our great graphics department and our producer, Brett Levy. For my co-host, Davis Matic, I'm Craig Mish. I'll be back here at 2 for News Tomorrow. Have a great day.